Ladies and gentlemen, according to the United States Air Force, in following a policy which is set probably fairly high in the Pentagon, there are about 250 or 300 extremely incompetent airline and military pilots in this country. They're carrying passengers, they fly across the oceans, and they seem to be quite safe. The airlines let them continue to fly, even though they have reported UFOs. But in their UFO reports, or after they have made them, the Air Force has stated that they did not see what they thought they saw, and in effect, they are incompetent. The same thing applies to several hundred radar officers, radar men, traffic controllers, and others who are responsible for bringing you in safely, particularly in bad weather, to the terminals and major airports. It also applies to missile trackers, rocket trackers, and in general to competent, reliable citizens around the country. Now, if you add them all up, you will find there are at least 100,000 people in this country embracing almost every trade and profession, besides all the military and all the flying personnel, who simply cannot be trusted, their judgment cannot be trusted, at least in regard to what they see in the sky. This is not an attack on the Air Force spokesman or the project spokesman. They are simply following orders to explain away all UFO sightings as quickly as possible when they become public and deny that UFOs really exist. Over a period of 9 years, we have gathered about 8,000 reports, of which at least 1,500 of them come from extremely competent witnesses. We have reports from pilots on every major airline, all the military forces, the tower operators I was mentioning, astronomers, scientists, engineers, a very good level of American citizens. Now, these have been evaluated. These sightings have been evaluated by our staff, by scientists, engineers in their various fields. And the majority conclusion is that these things are real and under intelligent control. Now, in that group which has reached that conclusion, there is another group, and that's the majority of that one, which believes that these things must be extraterrestrial because they are so far superior to anything we have. They base this on absolutely tracked speeds by radar, visual tracking, and combinations. Now, either all of these witnesses, every one of them, all of the thousands of witnesses here and abroad, are absolutely wrong, honestly wrong, but they're wrong. They're unable to distinguish what they see in the sky, and I'm talking about pilots now. They cannot read radar scopes as well as they should. They can't track things with the Sunny theodolites or modern tracking devices. They make mistakes. All of them are wrong. Not one single man is right, or else these things are real, and there is secrecy, and the facts are being withheld. Now, we have a report here that we prepared 2 years ago. It's about 200,000 words. It contains names, details, and dates of sightings by many of the people I mentioned. You read that, I don't think you can come out of a complete reading of that without believing that, well, it's probable. You may not be completely convinced, but you will not be a complete skeptic, as incidentally I was when I started in on this years ago. Now, as a result of this policy to explain away, you will read about a sighting, and then almost instantly, or within 24 hours, you'll read something like swamp gas. Now, this case, this recent case up in Michigan, was investigated rather briefly by the Air Force, and the statement was released by Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who is the number one Air Force investigator. He said that what these witnesses saw was swamp gas. They all of them denied it because they said they were familiar with swamp gas. And since then, we have made a preliminary investigation into the characteristics of swamp gas. It's not completed, but so far, it doesn't seem possible that this could have been anything of the kind. It doesn't conform. There are also press reports that Dr. Hynek was pushed into making this statement public. He has since denied that he was pressured. However, there have been cases, from my personal knowledge, I know that people, spokesmen for the project, or on the Air Force press desk, and this was some time back, said that they had to answer these cases if they could, and sometimes it was embarrassing because they knew that the answers wouldn't stand up. And in many cases, they've had to retract them and go back to some other answer. Now, recently, in the famous Exeter case up in New Hampshire, and probably most of you are familiar with that, the Air Force did publish an answer and later retracted it. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar, this was a report by two veteran policemen of Exeter, New Hampshire, and a teenager, about 19 years old, who first saw this device and went to the police. They went out to the scene and skeptically, and when they got there, they found exactly what he had described, a very large object hovering close to the ground with lights flashing in sequence, creating such a blinding glare that it lit up the ground for about 300 feet. It even caused animals in nearby buildings which couldn't see this object to get upset, horses kicking their stalls and whinnying and so on. Now this was made, we made this report public, and it was picked up by John Fuller of Saturday Review of Literature and later published in Look. Somehow that had more effect than any group of sightings that we put out in the last 5 years, probably because of his prestige and the fact that he didn't have any axe to grind. He merely went up there and taped interviews with all of the witnesses and came back and said there seems to be no doubt that this thing was there and it's real. The Air Force had first said that this was a mistake caused by low-flying aircraft. Later, they have put out this statement in an official letter, but not in a release, that because of NICAP publicity, our first report, it was picked up by newscasters and program directors and magazines and widely publicized, so they re-examined it. What they did, they went back to the police officers and queried them over again. And the police officers were very much incensed by being called incompetent. They stated, well, this was wrong. They were not low-flying aircraft. This was definitely an unidentified flying object. The same thing happened in another case that very same night, which is not so well known, down in Texas. On the night of September 3rd, two deputy sheriffs saw a strange object in the sky, and they parked their cruiser with the lights on near the side of the highway to watch it. It came down toward them, and when it was about 150 or 200 feet away, the light was so bright, and the object was so near they could feel heat from it. One of the sheriffs immediately started the car, and they went down the highway at 110 miles an hour. Now, this is from a signed report that they gave to the Air Force and also to us. Then after a while, they thought, well, maybe we'd better go back and take another look. So they went back. The object was there. It came toward them again. And once more, they went down the highway at over 100 miles an hour. Now, these men aren't, they're not kids. And they're men who are old enough to have had a lot of experience in handling criminals and all sorts of law work. But they were frightened. They were actually terrified. And they didn't mind saying so. Now, repeatedly, there have been cases where these things have come close to observers on the ground. They've come close to automobiles. Several times, they have come down in front and actually touched down on highways or else come very close to it in several instances, causing drivers to run off the road or go into the ditch. All of these things added up show that there has been, within the last year, a noticeable increase in very close approaches and touch landings, not only here, but abroad. Over in South Africa, last year, in the fall, there was a touch landing in, I've forgotten the name of the town, but at least it was down in South Africa, and two constables saw this. Their headlights fell on the object, and they got a very good picture of it. As they got a little nearer, a blast of flame discharged from the bottom of this thing, and it rose very swiftly and disappeared. But where it had been, the blast of flame, or the weight of the object, or both, had broken through the pavement and scorched, left a very hot fire and scorched the area for some feet around. Now, this is an official report, and it was confirmed by one of the government officials in that area, and is still being investigated. I name these few cases, or I describe them, to show you that in contrast to all of the ridicule that you read about, I met a golden-haired spaceman and talked with him by sign language and then telepathy, and he took me up to Venus or Mars or the Moon, and we had a wonderful time and all that, and they told me they're here to save us from ourselves. We constantly fight to expose all these crackpots and to get the serious evidence on record. Now, there is at present an increasing wave of sightings. Within the last 72 hours, new reports have come in, including one more from up near Ann Arbor, Michigan. Three witnesses in that case were included a research professor on a NASA Space Agency project, an electronics expert, and an electrical engineer. They described this object as about 30 feet in diameter, 6 feet thick at the center, and emitting a blinding red glow. Now, this is somewhat similar to the Exeter case. There have been cases since then in Colorado, Maryland, Florida, down in the Gulf of Mexico, where a Coast Guard crew is supposed to have seen an object. We're still checking that one. And it looks as though there's going to be another flare-up, which may extend all around the country, not only here, but abroad. Now, I repeat, all of these people are either deluded, self-deluded, some of them are frauds, or they're simply honestly mistaken. We think in NICAP, and our Board of Governors has voted unanimously on this subject, that it is time to end the secrecy, bring the material out in the open, and if we're wrong, that will end it. And if they're wrong, it's going to open up one of the greatest developments in centuries. I was talking with Representative Gerald Ford, the minority leader, after his statements to the press and on Face the Nation yesterday. And he said, I see nothing but benefit from a full congressional investigation. If the Air Force is right, this will strengthen them and it will end all of this controversy. If they're wrong, they should be criticized, witnesses should be brought in, the whole thing should be openly investigated because people are, at least some people, are getting a little bit concerned about this. In some cases, it's even worse than concern. It's actual fear. There have been a few cases where people have been so frightened they've actually fired at these objects when they appeared near their cars or hovered close to the ground. In case any of you have not seen this, later on we will try to provide each of you with a copy of this called the UFO evidence, which will show the names of pilots on all major airlines and many military officers, and also the conclusions of scientists and others who have examined this evidence. We are now recommending that the government set up an instrumented network around the country which can track these objects so that they can be passed from one tracking station to another across the country. Their speeds, their courses, and even the shapes can be identified. And within a very short time, you'd have a mass of accurate data which you could release to the public and also to scientists who could then go into the various aspects of this problem. One thing it would prove is that these machines or devices or whatever they are move at speeds far exceeding anything that we have that can move in our atmosphere. They've been tracked at up to 18,000 miles an hour at White Sands, moving in our atmosphere 50 miles above the ground. Now, an ordinary conventional machine moving at that speed, that height, would certainly burn up. Furthermore, no conventional machine could make such violent turns, climbs and descents as these things have been tracked and doing. The press lately has been of great value and great help to those who believe these things are real and it's a serious problem, and has caused a general reversal among thousands and I believe hundreds of thousands of people. We have collected editorials from newspapers all around the country and in magazines from the Christian Science Monitor, on Saturday Review and others stating that this seems to be a serious problem. It is real, and the government should be looking into it. As a result of this, we are even getting hidden reports. People have been sitting on citing reports for years for fear of being ridiculed, and now they are sending them in, saying, well, it looks as though you don't have to be called a fool to say that you've seen one of these objects. Several aspects of UFO operations which can be handled by various members of our staff here, for instance, radar tracking, electromagnetic interference, and other aspects. Before I turn the meeting open to questions, I would like to emphasize one thing. There are about 50 members of Congress already on record who have told us that they believe this is not a joke. It is. Many of them have said they would support hearings if it were brought up. If this thing suddenly does come to the point of hearing, you are going to see and you're going to hear some of the most amazing testimony from veteran pilots, people in the government, FBI agents, legislators, incidentally, newsmen, editors, and newscasters. Quite a number of them have reported seeing these things. Some of them come out in the open and some don't. And I think you will eventually find that there is substantial evidence that we are being observed by some type of device which is ahead of us, far ahead of us, and is probably controlled by a highly advanced superior civilization. Now, this is a conclusion which I personally have stated and is shared by some members of our Board of Governors and advisors, not all of them. It has reached to the point where many people in the Air Force have the same conclusion. In fact, the Air Force at one time had a top secret estimate that these things were interplanetary spaceships. This was confirmed to us by the head of the project at that time, and also by the monitor of the Air Force project, who is now on our Board of Governors. So you will see that this, instead of being a subject for ridicule and a big joke, actually is a serious matter which could affect the lives of all of us. Dr. Charles Olivier, president of the American Meteor Society, without taking any stand on the extraterrestrial nature of these objects, has said that there is no question that the information has been withheld and witnesses are ridiculed. The problem should be brought out into the open, examined scientifically, and the public given the facts which have been hidden from them to this time. Now, I would like to open this meeting for questions, and I will try to answer some of them and turn others over to the people who are more qualified to answer them. Well, I was told back in 1952, at a time when they were preparing to release their most important cases, that at first, at the very first, they feared perhaps the Russians had gotten ahead of us with the aid of captured German scientists. They very shortly realized that was impossible because Russia had hardly started to rebuild its factories. So the only alternative was that everything was, all these reports were wrong, or else these things must be interplanetary. If so, such an admission might frighten people, so it was decided best to go under wraps. The project was set up, which was labeled secret, and openly, the reports were played down inside the project. They were considered very serious, and as I say, there was a majority conclusion that they were interplanetary. In 1953, the plan to tell the people what we had, not announce any conclusion, but tell them that we did have evidence of extraterrestrial operations, that was canceled because there was a sudden outbreak of sightings. An intelligence colonel high up in the directorate said we would be in serious trouble announcing they were probably real without any idea of their purpose here. So there's been an off and on movement within the Air Force. Some people in the Air Force believe that you should come out and tell everything you have. People should be told, since there's actually no evidence of any danger or hostility. And others say, don't tell anybody anything till we know more of the answer.
You seem to be asking everyone to take an open mind, and yet you seem to be precluding any chance of the Air Force convincing you that these are not real.
Well, we have studied
and the government ought to make it known to the public. You're not giving the Air Force a chance to say maybe they're not real.
We have, I think, every Air Force statement going back to the opening of the project, way back in 48. We've examined them, and I have talked with a lot of Air Force officers, some of them on the project and some not. And we've examined many cases which they explained, and then later explanation was found to be incorrect. And I, one of the officers on the project admitted to me that they were supposed to explain these if they could, and reduce the, as a matter of fact, their own regulation says reduce these unknowns to the minimum. Of course, that's natural because you want to reduce them to the minimum in connection with national defense.
They say that they have reduced them to a minimum. That's what the Air Force tells us. Now, assuming that there was a congressional investigation, what, short of a finding that flying saucers are real, would satisfy you?
Not necessarily a finding. I'm just the release of all the cases and all the information. Now, you could go out to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, as I think several newsmen here have done. I know Mr. Griffin has been out there at least four times. You do not get all the information. You get summaries of reports, and some of them that they care to let you see. But if you turned out everything, including the opinions of the pilots and all the details, the cross-triangulation, the radar confirmation, and so on, then you could make an accurate analysis. At present, all the information is not available. I don't think over one-tenth of the information the Air Force has is available. You're Mr. Hines, aren't you? And it's a closed subject. The longer that it goes on, the harder it is to get this information. Now,
Tigo, what do you suspect the Air Force has that you don't have in the way of information?
They may have more knowledge of the propulsion system that we have, and they may... It has been stated that they actually have some wreckage of one of these things in their hands. I've never been able to prove that, and I don't think it's so. But they do have a lot of detailed reports. Now, years ago, as I say, when I was seeing those, why, you could get a single sighting that might have four or five very closely typed pages or teletypes, details, what the pilots thought and the co-pilot or the crew aboard, enough so you would evaluate. There's one over the Gulf of Mexico where every man on board a B-29 gave his opinion, and the interrogating officer gave his reaction to what they said. There was a case over the Pacific where an object came awfully close, and there were some explosions in the sky near the plane, and frightened some of the crew, and they said so. But you don't get that kind of report anymore.
Well, I'm a bit confused. What are you asking? The Air Force to confirm your conclusions and what you already believe?
No, merely that they... that end the secrecy on sightings and stop ridiculing witnesses, at least the competent witnesses. An airline captain, you take Captain Killian of American Airlines several years ago, his co-pilot, flight engineer, and the crews of five other airlines in the general area saw three objects which were maneuvering in very strange fashion and appeared to be UFOs. The next morning they said that what he had seen was Orion through scattered clouds, that one of their crews had been out that night and seen exactly the same thing. And Killian came back and said, well, that is very odd because we were flying at such and such an altitude and the clouds were below us. We were over the clouds and we had an absolutely clear sky above. So about 2 weeks later, they came out and found out that this was a refueling operation. Now, you know very well that out at NORAD, they can tell you instantly what's going on anywhere. Refueling operations on record, and you find out, if not in seconds, within minutes, it could have been identified. It wouldn't have taken 2 weeks to do it. And Captain Killian said, I'm quite familiar with refueling. It was not refueling. The Air Force is simply trying to cover this up. Shortly after that, a spokesman told the New York Herald Tribune that without mentioning Killian, that quite often some of these UFO witnesses were so drunk they didn't know what happened the next morning. Well, that didn't go down very well with Killian, even though they didn't aim it directly at him. And he started to make a big fuss about it. And Congressman Prudell here in Washington was about to invite him down for hearings. Bang, the lid went down. He was ordered to keep still, and he has never opened his mouth since then about that case to defend himself.
Major, this is a worldwide phenomenon, isn't it? And aren't there places where the investigative organs are not under the thumb of the U.S. Air Force, where you might be able to get some information? Say Canada, say Red China, I don't care.
Yes.
The Air Force doesn't control all outlets of information throughout the world, so what do these other people say?
Well, the Argentine government, through their Navy Ministry, has sent us official reports saying they've said they're quite concerned over the problem, and they have sightings by their pilots, which have never been explained. The Brazilian Air Force at one time was doing the same thing, didn't send official reports, just that they made open statements that they thought was very serious and asked all nations to join in a nationwide investigation, pool their information. The English, the British for a while had everything open, and all of a sudden the lid went down. They were very polite about it, but they won't release any sightings now.
If these are extraterrestrial, why is it unbelievable that little green men would jump out of them?
Well, sir, I don't know why it is. It always deteriorates into little green men. Of course, we don't have any idea what beings from some other planet would look like. Some scientists say they could be smaller, could be bigger, they could look entirely different, or by the law of averages, there might be some that would look like us. That green men idea has been so firmly implanted that anytime people talk about space beings, they always turn out to be little green people. So, but the idea of beings emerging is not at all impossible. I don't say it hasn't happened. All I know is that all of these silly reports that we've investigated have turned out either to be delusions or frauds. I mean, there's many of those.
What kind of a tracking system do you propose, and by whom, and in terms of what kind of dollars and so forth?
Well, years ago, the Air Force set up what they call the grid camera system, these cameras were supposed to be distributed to various Air Force bases. The idea was to see whether they could break up the light, the glow from them, and analyze it. And the grids fell off of the cameras, and the thing was a complete flop. Al Chop, whom some of you may remember as the Air Force intelligence or information officer at the time, he said, "Please don't ask about that. It's too embarrassing." Turned out that they weren't any good at all. They never picked up anything. If the recommendations back in 1953 of a group which did go into that had been followed, there would have been a nationwide tracking system. It was turned down because of lack of funds. But it could be done, and it could even be worked in probably, at least in part, Moonwatch teams and so on. There, if you got a UFO and you picked it up and you could instantly buzz another station in the state somewhere or other and say it's headed in your direction, they picked it up, you'd get a track and you'd get speed, and if you had height finder radar, you'd get that too. And you'd have enough data sooner or later that you'd have absolute speeds and you'd be able to determine shapes and so on.
Then to be composed of systems of cameras and radar interlocking and intercommunicating and so forth.
That's right.
Major, you've got the Dark Fence and SPADAN and SPADAPS and the Cambridge Astrophysical Network and God knows what else. Why would it be necessary to spend millions and millions of dollars more to set up a special purpose network to track UFOs when all you need, if your argument has any merit, is an executive order from the Pentagon telling people to use the equipment they already have?
Well, if they did that, that probably would be fine, but they deny emphatically that they've ever picked up anything of the kind, although we've had individual reports that they have picked up objects from them. But if they could use it, then we wouldn't have to. But I'm assuming that this is going to take some agency outside of the military.
Is it also going to take some kind of exotic equipment?
Oh, no. No, no, I don't think so. It could be equipment that's already in existence. And I think we could utilize a great deal. If the military, the point of it is, it's pretty hard for the Air Force to divide, they say, to divide UFOs from national defense. There's always, they say there's always a problem that maybe a UFO might be a secret Russian craft of some kind or a probe. But actually, there are only a few cases where there's any question about that. I mean, the speeds and maneuvers show it.